Greetings, everyone. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. I've got a great one lined up for you. Part 3, Royal Bloodline. Going to get into the Kinsman Redeemer, Types and Shadows. And we're going to look at the spiritual unfoldment of the reason why that these aspects of reality of truth were put into the Holy Scriptures for a directive that might give you a sense of the purchase price of the redemption blood of the very man that bore your sins worthy, as you were unworthily, not unworthy, but unworthily. That's an adverb modifying the action, placing the emphasis on him who was worthy for those who were unworthily. Now, if you were unworthy, you wouldn't have had it. You were unworthily. You weren't able to redeem yourself from the penalty, and the prosecuting attorney kept prosecuting and become the continuous accuser of the brethren. So there had to be a redeemer to buy back the contract when Israel was sold into slavery. Now let's look at the four characters we're going to look at tonight. Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and Boaz's brother, next to Ken, the sequence. Naomi, if you would take a picture of her, she's a perfect picture of Israel becoming impoverished, poor, desolate, in need of redemption, and carried off into a strange land. Perfect type of Israel. Moved off the land into exile because of transgressions. Losing their inheritance, having to sell off their assets to maintain their liabilities to live and function because they sought to live among the heathen. Ruth is a perfect type of a bride that was put away in the strange country, but brought back from the dead, basically. And redemptive picture of Ruth, the beautiful bride that became the bride of Boaz, the rich kinsman redeemer, able to buy back that was sold into poverty, slavery, ignorance, fear, superstition, everything that Israel thought that they would find by breaking the covenant, they found without the heir or the redemptive favor of the Almighty Yah, the Eternal One, they were in a heap of trouble. They got over in the world, they tried to act like the world, do like the world, and they began entangled in the affairs of the world, like the thorns of life, and it was hard to find their way back. So here is a perfect type of the brother of Boaz who was not able to redeem. That's a perfect picture of the law, which was not able to redeem you from under the curse. So the Melchizedek covenant was instituted and brought forth in a new covenant contract of Hebrews 10, 16, 17, and 18 tells you the facts of the new covenant. And this covenant is as opposite as the old one. It's a paradox of strange paradoxes of opposites, one going one way against the flesh man, one going the other way for the spirit man, both of them working against each other. And until you can make peace and ratify the contract to submit to the will of the Father, submit that the law is wholesome and good, spiritual, and then have a stronger inward man than you do an outward man. Crucify that outward man. He has to die. The ravages of the curse is upon him daily. Paul said, I die daily. And so we've got to have a kinsman redeemer that is a rich benefactor or a person who frees the debt by paying the ransom price. Well, if your brother be waxing poor and have sold away some of his possessions, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother has sold. That's, of course, the famous kinsman redeemer scripture in Leviticus 25:25. And of course, 25:25 totals 50, and 50 is the Jubilee, and it's right in the Jubilee chapter of Leviticus chapter 25 that Yahweh inserts the kinsman buyback clause. And I tell you what, if this hadn't gone into the law of effect, the prosecuting attorney would have wreaked havoc with the judgment seat of Christ, where he sought to accuse the brothers, even over and above the righteous blood that was shed to redeem those who died through the sin of Adam. And the separation, the fall, the coldness, the hardness of heart. Because the Bible said the law is spiritual, but they interpreted carnal, and they got farther and farther into the carnality of the divers worships and sorts and such, that they lost sight of the primitive reason that the law was instituted. Actually, it was to keep at bay the seed of the serpent from inheriting, because there was a judgment guideline that only kinsmen could redeem. So Satan, in his craftiness, tried to insert his seed, his corrupted tare line, into the bloodline of kinsmen that had the ability and the authorization under the covenant contract to redeem. But now those who possess the ability to redeem must have the riches able to pay the total ransom price. And that's just exactly what Christ exacted and paid in full. The law, Satan, the prosecuting attorney, demanded his blood. I mean, when he swore on to redeem Israel, the tremendous price of redemption was the fact that he had to redeem it through his own blood. Well, it forever become a kinsman, and those who are associated with it are forever locked into the blessing pact of kinship of redeeming covenants. Oh, it's just wonderful, and it's metaphorical, and it's allegorical. But it has a reckoning sense of reason. You see, the Bible is complicated only to those who make it complicated. It's the foolish things that Christ chose to trip up the deceitful ones and catch them in their speech. We're going over to a very, very obscure, very little is quoted on it, but I want to quote it tonight for you and get it into the record of the royal bloodline of Yahweh. It's in the book of John, St. John, the Gospel of John, St. John, and it's in chapter 1. And, of course, it is verse 13. One to redeem the 13. Isn't that appropriate that they place that there? 13 representing the 13 tribes. One representing the redeeming buyback power, purchase power. If you don't understand the blood covenant of the Messiah, you'll never understand the mystery of the Redeemer. What buyback, purchasing power? What covering? Remember when Ruth laid at the feet of this kinsman redeemer? Remember, she'd been married to an individual that we're going to visit Monday night. And Tuesday night, we're going to go to the first chapter of the Book of Ruth, and we're going to carry the Kinsman Redeemer episode, allegorical, metaphorical, and all of the above reasons in the parables that it ties into it that Christ demonstrated in the New Testament to hide, not reveal, but conceal, knowing that the sheep, the bloodhounds, the spiritual bloodhounds would search beyond reason or dig to a depth that has never been dug before. So he hid it, he buried it, the pearl, the precious pearl that is in the midst of the field. You must purchase the whole field to get the pearl. That wasn't the value of the field that was sold, but it was a redeeming buyback power. But there was something precious in there. And Christ is that pearl that is in the field house of the bloodline of Jacob that purchased and bought back that with his own blood. And man, what a purchase power. What a covering. Ruth said, cover thy handmaid. She saw his covering. The buyback redeemer. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be amazed at the bloodline of kinsmen, indicating, pointing toward a redemptive Savior, not out of the tribe of Judah, where we've been long held into mental prisons. We couldn't break out because there was nobody bringing revelation for us. And here we are today, boldly proclaiming that Christ was not a Jew. He didn't have one drop of the blood of Judah in his veins. And there's obvious reasons for that. We'll demonstrate that the bloodline had been cleansed, pure, unrefined, right out of the blood of God. As it says right here in the 10th verse, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew not. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave him power to become the sons of God. Now, how do we become a son of God? Well, doesn't it say here in the 3rd chapter, let me read you this verse that is so it's not quoted properly. And I wonder why. Well, it's because that they mistranslated. And that's John 3 and 3. This is a resurrectional fact number here. 3 is a resurrection number. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Because the Father said, unless you're born again. You know what that says? No. That word again is a misnomer. It shouldn't be in there. But it's put there deliberately to tell you that you've got to go through some rebirth ritual when it's not talking about that. Strong's number 509. You must be born from above. Not again. Now, I'll repeat that. Not again. The obvious English word in here is put to twist the mental mind of the bell box midgets where they park their brain in the foliars and go in and get filled with tradition instead of truth. You see, a minister that's trying to teach you the truth will set you free within a reasonable bound to come out of the bell box to be made free. So you got to have a process beginning to come free, and certain words will unhook you from the false philosophy of man and his attempt to worship God. Don't be fooled by people that worship. Satan worships. Cain worshiped. And no marvel, for in the book of the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan and his angels have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. So they love to get in there and preach their righteousness. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witnesses, thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain. It goes on and on and on. They say and do not. because they deny the redemptive blood, the power. Here it says, you must be born from above. Look at that. Look that up. Look at Strong's number 509. Because he said, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, born of the Spirit when? Before the foundation of the world, when his name was on the Lamb book, and he was called and chosen before ever was put in his mother's womb to be who he was. A tree makes itself who it is because it produces its own seed. And a good tree cannot bring forth bad seed. Ladies and gentlemen, when a good spirit is in a flesh body, you have a potential candidate for the kingdom of heaven because he is earmarked, chosen before the foundation world, and predestinated to come to the revelation. Yahweh not willing that any should perish his long-suffering, that he could hold the line or the toll exacting until the purchase price of redemption is made secure, and everyone whose name was on the Lamb's book from the beginning, and he ain't lost to one. Now, he's going to take a few names off that were there. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what do you mean by that? Well, not all Israel's Israel. Some have crept in unaware. Some have wool outward, but wolf inwards. And see, Yahweh knows the heart of those that are true blue and those who have been mixed and mingled into the worship system, which the Bible said not everything that says Lord, Lord, if we can use that term, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. But he that doeth the will of the Father. Now, if you're a good tree, you're going to do the will. If you ain't, you can't. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You say, oh, my heavens, Pastor Buddy, you know that all you got to do is be saved and you join the church and follow the regulations and keep the commandments, you're going to go to heaven. Wait a minute. I'm telling you, two-thirds of the church would save Esau if he was here. He's a good guy. Made a few mistakes. But they ain't no demand for good people. You can't be good and go to heaven. You got to be right to go to heaven. Bad people can be good. And good people can be bad. So you can't go on works as much as David had a man killed to get his wife, but he was a man after Yahweh's own heart. Made some foolish mistakes in the flesh because Satan tempted you to do these things and he fell victim. And the Bible said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. If you're on the road for the king, you're gonna run into roadblocks, obstacles, and old crafty Satan is gonna have you digging in his pit, trying to find your way out of the darkness he's got you in. I mean, I've had to pull myself up by the bootstraps many times after I got forward on the canvas in the ring with him. But the battle ain't over till the fat lady sings. It's not a sin for a man to fall three times. Sin for him to lay there after the third time. You get up. You dust yourself off. You get back in the ring. You claim a redeemer, an inheritor. And here it says you got to be born again? No. You don't have to be born again. It's impossible. If you're a leopard, to change your spots. If you're born with an evil, corrupt spirit, that evil, corrupt spirit will be with you when you die. You say, well, there ain't no hope then. Oh, yes, there is. The hope is in the potter, not the clay. See, you're putting hope in the clay, and I'm putting hope in the potter. Place the emphasis on where it belongs. It is not those that eat and drink unworthy when they take the communion blessing cup, because many of Satan's children have took the cup and ate and drank unworthy. But they who eat and drink unworthily, the adverb modifying the action to place the participant power of the redemptive power upon that man, Christ, our Messiah, the Boaz of Israel. Christ is the epitome of Boaz, with enough riches and power and in his blood to redeem us, under the Kinsman Redeemer Act, that we were sheep separated and strayed. We always have been sheep. We always will be sheep. We're just lost sheep. And that old adage, oh, I found God, won't cut it. God was never lost. It was you. You're the one that's lost and separated from the commonwealth of Israel and need a redeemer to be purchased back by the blood covenant racial content of the power of that man who was born. Now listen how he was born. This is amazing. Which were born not of God. Oh, don't say that. Which was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, or Elohim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that changes the complexion of the whole thing. This is the Son of God manifest to take away the sins of the world. Was he the kinsman redeemer? Of course he was. Was he a type and shadow of Boaz? Yes, he was. Was Boaz a Jew? No, he wasn't. I'll give any man $5,000 to prove that Boaz was a Jew, to prove that Ruth was a Jew, to prove that Elimelech was a Jew. He just isn't there at this time to stand up and be counted. Because it was the blood of Joseph Ephraim that is displayed in the book of Ruth. Now, obviously, in the fourth chapter, when we're talking about certain aspects of genealogy, Judah's name pops up with his two sons, Zerah and Perez. Right out of context. It's plumb out of context that for it to appear there. Now, who would dare to do that? Well, your old friend, the Jew, the scribe. Beware of the scribes. Do you have a mind? Do you have an eye? Do you have the eagle eye to catch the things that they've done to deceive the very elect? Have they got you eating out of the dish of Christ was a Jew and lapping up water? A falsehood and non-redeemable power? You see, the Jews don't have power to redeem. They don't even have the promise of the birthright. Number one, the birthright promise never went to Judah. So then, the kinsman redeemer that has the birthright must be of the bloodline of the proper birthright to inherit or to redeem that which is redeemable. In this case, the house of Israel. The house of Israel had the birthright. Out of the tribe of Joseph, of the house of Israel, was the blood covenant birthright issued to for and about, and it's never been altered, changed, except for those who would seek to deceive the very elect. And that's exactly what's happened. Say, oh, Pastor Bundy, this is just so unbelievable. I can't believe this stretch of the imagination. Honey, this is not imagination. This is realization. There's no imagination. You've been using your imagination to think that you were a blood covenant kin to the redeeming blood of a Jew when you were blood covenant kin to the redeeming blood of the house of Israel. Now, for any man that can prove that the birthright went to any other tribe except Joseph, I have a $10,000 reward. Anybody. Under the sound of my voice, national radio, worldwide exposure, and preaching for, well, I'm probably in the 45th year of my ministry. And I've never had one claim filed, with exception of two, and both of them were silly women that didn't know the scriptures. Anybody knows the scriptures is not going to file a claim to give Judah the birthright when it was never his and never given to him. Not one recorded scripture anywhere is recorded in the text that Judah had the birthright. There's nothing against Judah here, except his disqualification by his own deeds. When you say, what did he do? Well, the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis is very clear on what he done. He played around with an illicit woman, a woman of ill repute. Yahweh described her as a whore, a seed of Cain. And so he mixed his genetics, and his firstborn was heir. Heir was in line for the crown of the covenant promise to the house of Judah. Now think about this. Little is said about it, little is told about it, little is preached about it, obviously, because it's an embarrassment to those who believe that Christ was a Jew. When in reality, he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't embarrassed by it. He was watching the bloodline. He knew what he was going to do. He knew the types. He knew the character. Jesus transgressed. Well, after he had error, very appropriate, metaphorically. After he had him, what did Yahweh do? The Bible said Yahweh slayed him. Now, would Yahweh slay his firstborn? Think about that a minute now. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, at this very time, Judah was in line for the birthright. Now, I want to remind you, he was in line for it. He wasn't chosen. Wasn't given to him. He gave it up through default. But he was in line for that birthright. The first son of Jacob's strength was Reuben. You can find all this recorded in the book of Genesis chapter 46. If you want to start with the blood of Jacob and the offspring, Reuben was first. Well, you know what happened to him. He defiled his father's couch. In other words, he went up and took one of his father's wives to bed. That disqualified him as a person out of character, displaying bad character, bad choices. And Satan is the one who stirred Reuben up to do this. And he went up and laid with his father, father's wife. And so he was disqualified. That's what the Bible says. In recorded text, that he got disqualified. Now we're going to look at the second son, and his name was Simeon. He was the second son from the house of Leah. The first four sons, now remember, coming from the house of Leah. The second son was Simeon, and in the 46th chapter, in the 10th verse, you'll find it recorded there that Simeon married a Canaanite also. Now, my heavens above, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about privileges taken away by default. Yahweh will not have the blood of Cain, and Satan, knowing that these firstborns will be redemptive through redeemership, that he could slip his seed into the blood of Israel. And he literally succeeded in doing this, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to say this. Satan has brought his corrupted Cainite bloodline into the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But, although the prophets, Jacob, you see, Jacob carried these two sons, it was going to record in 46, he carried them with him as his offspring. And they weren't literally from his sons. He carried these two Canaanite sons among the 66 total in the book of Genesis 46. He carried two of these Canaanite bloodline sons where they could procreate and mix and mingle with the rest of the sons and daughters of the house of Israel because they intermarried. This is how Satan got in a seed or a seat. Chiefly the Pharisees and the scribes, they loved those seats. They excelled. They had zeal. And, of course, they had some knowledge from the tree of evil. And so they excelled, and they were more zealous than all of the others. So they sought the chief seats. That's what Christ said, beware of them. They loved to sit in Moses' seat. Moses, the seed of Moses under the law could not redeem anybody from sin. It took a redeemer to pay the debt that the law exacted. And the prosecuting attorney, Satan, was there to exact everything that the law demanded. And he got it, too. I mean, he just wreaked havoc with... Well, you You know, it's a double-edged sword. So Yahweh just turned that sword eventually against Satan and himself, and he cut the body of the snake off in the house of Israel. Hallelujah! Glory. I feel the Shekinah. I preach this to where it's just a joy unspeakable to renew myself in the covenant contract of redemption. Through the holy, precious, unadulterated, defiled blood of Yahweh. Yahweh himself brought himself into a flesh body. He was the progenitor of the house of David, which was a descendant of the house of Ruth and Boaz. And every one of them from the blood covenant line of the birthright tribe of Joseph, Ephraim. Hallelujah! Shout glory for those saints that know the truth. The truth will make you free. If you've been set free under the vision of Christ, under Judah being a Jew, you're just set free. You ain't made free. You need some more loosening and letting go. You're like blind Samson grinding at the mill of the enemy by being defiled by the woman. Judah was defiled by the Canaanite woman, and he lost his firstborn birthright under the Kinsman Redeemer Act. There's nothing in the house of Judah that can buy you back anything but a hard time. Not that all the Jews are wrong. I've done told you. No. No, there is a rectification of the bloodline in Zerah and Perez, because Tamar was an Israelite woman according to the book of Jubilees and other books that are quoted. He did rectify the bloodline. Otherwise, the gate of Judah would have been closed. Do you realize that? If he hadn't succeeded in getting him another wife, just like Abraham, when he married and took Hagar, Hagar's seed is not going to inherit with the children of the free. This is a bondship. You got a bondship and you got a freedom and a liberty. And where the spirit of Yahweh is, there's liberty. Where it's not, you're bound up in the flesh because you lack the royal blood. Remember what the Bible says in 22nd chapter, the 16th verse of the book of Revelation that we pinned our text on when we started the foundation of the royal blood of Yahweh. I am the root of David. Now, all we got to do is go and study the book of Ruth real closely, do the word search, get in there in the Strong's and kick butt and take names. And everything that's not there, kick them out. Everything you imagine to be there, kick it out. I've had people say, well, now, I've heard all my life, glory to God, that Jesus was a Jew. Well, they're still preaching it every day. Just because Pastor Buddy's preaching against it don't make people believe it. Because they're going preaching it. They're going to preach it till the day that dying the kingdom comes, and when they're going to be led up there, they're going to say, well, have we done any more works? What knew this and what knew that? And he said, I never knew you. You see, he's entirely out of a different bloodline you've never heard about. This very obscure city, a place in Bethlehem, not Judea. See, when Bethlehem Ephratah came on the map in Genesis 35:19, there was no Bethlehem Judea. That was about 700 or 800 years on down the road before that appeared, when the lands were handed out. Here we're talking about a generation of people that established precedent, and this little city, this little obscure city, as compared to the many of Judah, it says, it was a little Ephratah, not Judea. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, Ephratah and Judea is the same one. Oh, I beg your pardon. Geographically, you cannot squeeze them together. Thankfully, I'm well-read enough to know the geography of the area and know the Bible scriptures to prove that he was not born in Bethlehem, Judea. You just assume he was because the scribe said so. Prophet didn't say that, but the scribes did. Now, you don't believe the scribes? When Christ said, beware of them? Or you want to beware of Pastor Buddy and take him to task? Say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I've never heard such nonsense in all my life. Glory to God. Where are you getting all that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Bible seek to belittle you because you're ignorant. But the Bible says, any man's ignorant, let him be ignorant still. But he that has the gospel, let him speak it faithfully. They were ignorant when they killed Christ. They didn't say he was a Jew. Christ didn't say he was a Jew. They said he was a Jew. They assumed he was going to be a Jew because by that time the scribes had convinced the people there, even forgetting the name of Yahweh, caused them to forget his name. Jeremiah 23, 25, 26, and 27. They had done away, hid the name, said it was too sacred to utter. That's a lie. When he said, declare my name throughout the whole earth. Speak my name. Praise my name. We're told it's too sacred to utter. Who told you that? Same people that told you he was a Jew. But denied he came. You can't have it both ways here, ladies and gentlemen. You ever think how strange it is for people to say, oh, yes, he was a Jew. And then they turn around and say, but he ain't come yet. Wonder if they did. Then here's the Christians that accept that he came and believe he was a Jew. Because they believe that Jews are God's chosen people, and they can't be God's chosen people. They're no more chosen than the house of Naphtali, or the house of Simeon, or the house of Issachar, or the house of Benjamin, or Asher. Or Joseph Ephraim. It is Joseph Ephraim that has the promise of the birthright that the Messiah would come out of the house of Joseph Ephraim to be the kinsman redeemer. Wasn't that the message? Wasn't that the scarlet thread? Wasn't that what the blood issue was all about in genetics? Wasn't that why all the battles, the fierce battles, even in Rebecca's womb was all about? That Satan was trying to get his bloodline cares blessed and firstborn? And Yahweh said, over my dead body. And that's literally what he meant, too. This issue came down to over the dead body of Yahweh Shua. But the amazing grace of this thing was that somebody had the strength and the power of redemption to redeem even his body and not leave it in hell and suffer it to see corruption. The same one he went in with, he came out with. No corruption. What a power of blood. What a powerhouse. What a redemptive price. Because it wasn't born of the blood of man. Or the will of man. Or the will of the flesh. There was no flesh involved in this. There was no semen from Joseph. This little woman had never known a man. No natural blood of man semen, as we call it. No flesh had entered her, penetrated her. She was a virgin. And the Bible said Yahweh overshadowed her. The Lord overshadowed her. A mighty one. He overshadowed her, and she became pregnant. Now, we could argue how she got pregnant for ages on ages. But all we know is that she delivered in 270 exact days, 9 months being a perfect child. 9 months later, she deposited a kinsman redeemer upon the earth. And Satan said, this is the heir, the kinsman redeemer. Let us kill him, and then we'll have the prize. Well, he almost got away with it. But you know, like the song said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. Ladies and gentlemen, they carried out their threat. Their threats were serious. They cried for his blood. And he gladly gave it. It was a redemptive price, the redeeming price, the total exactness. It has to be a death of a testator, of a testament. And a new covenant, which has been altered somewhat by those who seek to deceive you, said he had to be born again. You got to be born again to go to heaven. And the Bible says, in reality, says you got to be born from above. My sheep are not of this world. My sheep are lost. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go not to the Gentiles. You say, well, he come to save the Gentiles. Well, anybody that went on a mission to save the Gentiles went without a commission from the Messiah. There's no commission anywhere written in the scriptures that we're to go to the Gentiles. That word Strong's 1484 is badly mistranslated in the New Testament. Better take a new look at it. I was talking about the sheep among the heathen, among the Gentiles, and we became known as Gentiles because we lost our identity, which is exactly what the word said we do. We want to be heathen, and Yahweh said, well, go over there and monkey and mingle and jingle and tingle with them until you have it running out your nose just like your murmuring fathers did back in the wilderness when they would not obey me. And I'll swear they won't enter into my rest. And he said, I'll scatter you among the heathen, and that day when you wake up, you'll come back for me. You'll hunt for me. And then, my, how that has become prophetically true in kinsman redeemership. Well, I just get, this is my favorite message in the Bible. To think about a blood so powerful of a kingdom progenitor, rich and powerful enough in the substance of genetics to overwhelmingly defeat sin and slay it. Talk about the dragon slayer. Talk about the principal exact sum in full. He paid the ransom price for his bride. Ruth is a type of the bride, and Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, give headship and covering to that wayward bride. So he said, I'll never leave. It's a type of shadow of Adam. Adam wouldn't leave Eve. The Bible said Adam was not deceived. You may think he was, but he wasn't. He willfully stayed down here. He willfully chose to stay with his bride. He wouldn't abandon her. That proved to the Messiah, our Heavenly Father, when he made that announcement, when he was given a choice, Adam, your wife's prayed the harlot. She's pregnant with a tear. She's going to throw a tear, and I'm going to have to curse her womb. If you get any sons through, they're going to have to die. And Adam thought about that a moment. He said, my heavens, I'm in a strait between a rock and a hard place. Satan has put me on the defensive here. If I stay here, I'm going to die and my seed's going to die. And Father, if I go back to heaven, I'm going to be as lonesome as a blue moon that we sing about so often in our love songs. Something psychologically missing. No wonder we fall in love. No wonder we type and shadow the metaphors of the Bible. It's those who have a conscience and know these things. They get the realization of the truth and the Shekinah falling, building up confidence, bringing forth knowledge, which the Bible said for the lack of we're destroyed. No wonder we press toward the mark and the high calling because we believe in that kinsman redeemer. You know what, Adam? Ask one word. Father Yahweh, will there ever be a day in the future that you would come and find me and my sons and my daughters and redeem us? Oh, hallelujah. Praise the mighty God of Jacob, the one that loved us good enough to lay down his life. And you know what he told Adam? Adam, I'll tell you what I'll do, old boy. You've demonstrated a love that's far beyond, at this time, my comprehension. But through your love for this fallen bride, I promise you that I will come as a kinsman redeemer because you're my blood. Your sons will be my blood. I will effectively keep my blood pure. And at the appointed time, I will come and redeem you back to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, folks, this is more powerful sent a hydrogen nuclear bomb. Man, when you set this off in the brain of an Israelite and explode it into reality, it is so sealed with the strength and the vision and the love that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we'd even lay down our lives in like manner for our brethren, preferring them above us, having a charitable heart, supporting the truth and carrying on the message of hope and a redemptive resurrection, that we're born from above of His royal blood. We have flesh bodies that will be like His glorious body laid up for us at the redemption. When the final contract is sealed and signed for the last of Adam's sons to appear upon the earth, then shall the end come. And that man will give a report. Our elder brother, Father Yahweh, I've delivered those that you have put in my trust, and I've lost none except those who are lost to start with. But those that were lost with them I found, and I called my sheep out, and I led them out of the wilderness, and I brought them home to glory. My blood is a testimony that I have forever cleansed them by washing them in the righteous genetics of my own blood, making them nigh unto thee. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And I have signed the contract in my own blood. Now, here, Father, I take off my shoe as a tribute to deliver the bride and the children of the bride back to the kingdom and back to the throne. His sons are His glory, now sharing His throne. Father, not robbery, to be equal. You're going to be right up there, head to head, chest to chest, heart to heart, cheek to cheek, as a welcome back pilgrim. And a stranger redeemed from the earth by the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. No wonder we can sing those old songs. Even back in the Baptist church, I could feel the Holy Ghost. Back in the old timey churches, I remember back in World War II, we'd have prayer meetings 3 or 4 times a week. We'd go down and the mothers and the daddies that had their sons and daughters fighting in foreign fields. They'd get on the altar and they'd pray. They'd lay there for hours on end till they got so weak that they couldn't even hold up their little trembling hands, praying for their sons. Father, deliver them. Don't let them die. A lot of them did, but they weren't forgotten. They had mothers and daddies that were willing to take time out of their agricultural lives. Most of us worked on the farms and earned our bread by the sweat of our face. We came to the old church altars and we prayed. And I remember sitting there in the 40s, watching the old timers call on the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the redeeming power. They had a belief system that was fortified in love. And ladies and gentlemen, it's carrying right on down to this present generation where knowledge is being increased now. That He was in the world, the Redeemer was. And what did the enemy say? Come, this is there. Let us kill him. They did it. But you know what he said? There ain't no grave going to hold my body down. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up. I'm the kinsman redeemer. I come to redeem my sons from Adam to righteous blood of Abel that you shed, to the last drop of blood that's shed upon the earth in behalf of those who know the truth. I shall redeem them. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And I'll give the wicked blood to drink. And the buzzards and the vultures will pick the flesh of their brain as they die with no hope to return back to the heavens. See, Satan is caught outside. Don't be caught with him. Don't be drinking with a drunken. Be caught and judged with him. Don't do that. Well, I got to get out of here. My time is all zipped up and gone. Part 3, the Roy Blood. You got it tonight. If you'd like to contact Pastor Buddy, that's simply Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. The zip 37824. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. This is the ninth day of the month of October. Area code 423-626-2172. I'm sitting in here live tonight, thinking about the redeeming, the power, loving every second of my life, enjoying every minute of it. Just got back from the festival where we baptized people in the great, magnanimous, magnificent, marvelous, holy, majestic, powerful, loving, kind name of Yahweh. Whether they went down in that beautiful psalm, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah, praise Yah. That everything that had breath, praise Yah. Just had more guitar, I'd sing that song for you. Praise Yah, praise Yah. Praise Yah, praise Yah. And you know what? When you sound that phonic, when your voice puts that name in the way that it manifests itself in the breath of life, the neshama, you know that when you breathe in, that's Yah. And when it comes out, Vah, Yah, Vah. And it's wonderful. It's powerful. Try it sometime. Meditate on it. Praise it. Honor it. Salute it. Everything that you do, do it all in that great, powerful, magnanimous, magnificent name, and you'll be blessed by having it. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me tonight, that's Pastor Buddy. All you got to do is buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. CenturyTale.net. buddy@centurytale.net. That's all you got to have. Send me an email if you'd like to correspond with me. Been good to be with you here tonight. I've really felt the power of the Shekinah coming down from the high country. Praise Yah. Every time we think about the kinsman redeemer, we ought to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For there's somebody in the heavens that we're kin to that come to redeem us. Now, you only come for his family. 2, 4, and about one bloodline in the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you Monday night on microbroadcasters.com, 100 FM on the Rock, where we're around the world on the uplink to the satellite on internet downloads. Y'all bless you. Y'all keep you over the weekend. May your heart be blessed. May you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's get a little of the pipes in here now, and we'll go off with that wonderful phrase from Scotland.